Okay, thank you, everyone. We'll call the Ways and Means meeting together September 17th, 5:34. Roll call.
Archer?
Here.
Geraghty?
Here.
Mayo?
Here.
Maloney? Petit?
Here.
Rodriguez?
Present.
Ronk?
Okay. In the building. And we're going to take Resolution 386 out of order. Mr. Iaposi is going to share with us the new set of numbers for the warming center. Resolution number, can I get
I'll
motion? Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Iaposi?
Yes, thank you. We recently arrived at completing the submission for our 2019-2020 Code Blue plan. And the major component of the Code Blue plan is the warming center. We had RFP'd earlier this year that service, and the service provided that was selected was Catholic Charities of Ulster County, and they had been our service provider last year. So in connection with a variety of conversations that have unfolded around the details for the warming center, they did submit to us a proposed 1920 budget. And the numbers on that budget have come in at $405,790.42. That contemplates operations that would begin probably sometime during November and go through the end of March into early April. The primary dynamic behind the Code Blue plans that counties are required to implement as part of an executive order are that we have to be able to activate services to ensure that we can house everyone when the temperature drops below 32 degrees. And that requirement is absolute. It does not provide us with any flexibility. There are no criteria that individuals or families need to meet to qualify for housing. And prior to the implementation of the Code Blue executive order, we had actually implemented a warming center several years ago. And we did that in partnership with the Clinton Avenue Methodist Church. We did it on a much smaller budget back then because at that point in time, the Clinton Avenue Methodist Church basically donated their space, and as part of their mission, they provided a lot of the services. And because it was in the beginning of an initiative, there were a lot of expenditures that were not regularly incurred. Years later now, we've seen it evolve into a service provision that is much more expansive and includes a lot of additional services. We also have seen an increase in the volume of people in our community that are utilizing the warming center. Obviously, it's an important and essential service to provide. I'm extremely encouraged that over the course of time we've had the warming center, we haven't had any weather-related fatalities or injuries in Ulster County during the cold weather season. And we do have a lot of individuals that live off the grid that come in literally from the cold when it drops below 32 degrees to be sheltered in the evenings and during the days. And the executive order does specifically require that we be able to provide that service when the temperature is 32 degrees or lower. It's conceivable that in Ulster County, between December 1st and March 31st, you can find someplace in our county where it's that cold. So we can conceivably have 130 activations in the evening over those 4 months. We also have periods of extreme cold during day hours, and we also have to be able to activate during day hours. So we have two activation cycles from 7 p.m. to 9 a.m. That's a 14-hour shift, and we have from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., which is a 10-hour shift. And sometimes we will run continuously with activation based on the weather that is forecast. So the expenditures set forth in this detailed budget cover everything from renting a space, monitors, security, meals. We are looking at a location right now that we're hoping to finalize. This is an evolving process. The submission date for counties for the Code Blue plan was just this past Monday. So we submitted our plan. I'm optimistic and confident that our plan will be approved. And in the past, it's 100% reimbursement to the county. So to the degree that expenditures are increasing, OTDA, Office of Temporary Disability Assistance, is seeing that across the state. Having a warming center, I believe, is an essential component to a Code Blue plan. And having one that's centrally located in our county, where we have collaboration with a lot of partners to do outreach to homeless so that they can be transported to and from the warming center, is also very important. This continues to be an important collaboration between the county, the city of Kingston, the interfaith community, our service provider, and a lot of other organizations and entities that do outreach to homeless. And another important perspective here is to consider our safety net population. A lot of expenditures are potentially saved because we're not incurring safety net expenditures with emergency sheltering at the safety net rates. So to the degree that the volume of people using the warming center has increased, that is something that's worth noting. Now, I do realize there's been increases over the lifetime of this initiative, but I think that we were ahead of the curve because we established a warming center before the Code Blue executive order was implemented. It's continued to evolve. We're providing a lot of engagement and services to individuals who use the warming center so that we can situate them with other needs that they present with, whether it be housing, substance abuse, mental illness, employment deficits. And we do a lot of outreach. We engage the population that comes to the warming center. So it's an opportunity to build trust, forge relationships, and Catholic Charities has been an outstanding service provider. So that's where we stand right now. Any questions?
Legislator Gerentin.
Just a couple questions. What was our cost last year to operate this program?
It was about $180,000.
So we're going from 180 to about
405 is the predicted.
And that's, we got to get reimbursed all that money?
We're successful in 100% reimbursement for the 18-19 season, and we're putting our plan in to have it approved. Our expectation would be that our plan will be approved.
It might be said to the fact that the, as long as the temperature is below 32, we'll be compensated. What happens if you have a few days where it rises above 32 throughout the county and people still stay in the shelter? Are we going to provide the housing at that time when it's not below 32 degrees?
Traditionally, when the temperature goes above 32 degrees, we don't keep the warming center open.
But I mean, you know,
but we
in
will
between,
still house people under our other programs.
Just say for one night, it's 28, next night it's 31, and it goes up to 33 the following night. I mean, it's above 32, we're not going to tell people that you can't no longer stay here. We're not going to be compensated by that program, correct?
Based on what we've submitted, we've been able to demonstrate the weather reports. We haven't had any of our claims rejected. So we do watch the temperature very closely. We work with emergency operations and Steve Peterson to do the activations. The county executive, Steve Peterson, director of emergency operations, and myself have authority to activate the warming center. And, we will, remain active on those minor fluctuations. We're certainly going to provide the service. And I think another way to look at this is that considering the cost over the winter season, the 4 months, if it does average out, it might come in a little bit lower. But again, the potential liability and danger involved to vulnerable people in our community, I think it's still at a very reasonable cost. And I think that the budget that Catholic Charities submitted supports that.
Well, I'm not against it at all, 100%. The point that I would like to be known is that you said anywhere in Ulster County, as long as it's below 32, we would be compensated, correct? All right. So, we go up to the mountains there where it's usually colder than down this end.
We have residents that are up in those mountains that could need shelter. Law enforcement is trained in all parts of the county that this is the warming center to bring folks too if they're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if it's Dakin, Plattock Hill, wherever, if there's someone who needs the warming center, they'll be brought there.
Chair Bartels?
So thank you for coming and explaining. In the Schedule A, it says the vendor center shall serve homeless adults. Is the warming center only open to homeless adults, or is it open to anyone who comes seeking shelter?
It's not open to families and children.
Oh, I know that.
We don't want to mix those populations, but it is open to anyone, subject to screening by our service provider. If someone arrives at the warming center and is displaying behavior or conduct that suggests they might be a danger to themselves or others, we'll engage other service providers, law enforcement, healthcare, mm-hmm. mental health, we might call mobile mental health. If someone presents who might reveal or disclose that they're a sex offender, we want to be as careful as we can. But one of the challenges that's been arrived at statewide with all the counties is that there are not eligibility criteria for warming centers, and they're not shelters. So you don't have to have criteria in terms of being able to be admitted. But we do have monitors and we do have security that are on at all hours. And we do keep the populations, as people identify, separate.
I guess I'm asking because given that, do we want our contract to limit it to the word homeless, or do we just want to say it's open to adults? I mean, you have the preclusion of children and or families, and that's enumerated in Schedule A, mm-hmm. but my concern, you know, because I imagine that even notwithstanding the exceptions that you raise, that there may be people on very limited incomes who are worried in such cold about extending their heat or who don't have money for heat, rather than all heat might come, they live close enough to get warm. And the contract says it's for homeless. It just concerns me that it's...
If someone's facing a condition at their residence that makes it not viable for them to remain there because maybe their pipes froze or they ran out of heating oil, they're homeless. So to the degree that definition is expansive enough, it's not going to be arrived at to be utilized to reject people.
Okay. Legislator Rodriguez?
Whenever we finish this topic. Actually.
Oh, okay. I had seen your hand raised, so I didn't know. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you so much for... Yep.
It's for him, though.
Okay.
Have we actually voted on the resolution yet?
No.
Want to vote on that first, and then I can ask my question of the commissioner.
Is it about this?
No, it's about something else.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't want him going. So
okay. Well, thank you for the clarification. Okay. On the resolution,
aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, through the chair to the commissioner, it still seems to show that you've got about 10 vacant positions, give or take, in your budget, and yours has been probably one of the departments that over the years where we have looked at vacancies within the county government that had been more than 2 years in the past, we've identified those positions, and in certain cases even we should cut them from the budget in certain cases. So I guess my question right now is, what is the plan with the 10 vacancies that you have already in your department and getting your department fully staffed?
I mean, our plan right now is, with respect to those vacancies, the expectation is that we're going to fill those positions. Also, in our proposed budget, are requesting a couple of positions. It's been difficult and challenging for recruitment and retention, so we've had turnover due to a lot of retirement and resignations. But any positions that remain in our budget are positions that we feel you continue to need. We've had increasing caseloads across the child welfare spectrum. So to the degree that we can revisit those positions, we will.
Well, I was going to say, you have at least two case managers, I think two case workers, two casework aides, a litany of other different positions that go to support. And, I think you're down at least, couple positions of temporary assistance alone. And I know you may have addressed parts of that between now and the last time that I had that information, but it's a bit troubling when I hear, not to go and combine issues, but we have a different resolution that feel the department coming up, and you know, obviously this is a concern that I've heard out in the community with regards to what's actually happening over at DSS. So, all right, you're telling me right now you're trying to hire more people, but there's
no. We're actively interviewing with respect to the civil services. There are circumstances where we face some challenges in terms of filling positions and having offers accepted, and we have filled some positions, and then people have ended up not remaining in those positions. So, and with a department of roughly 300 staff having 10 vacancies, basically a small percentage across the board with the number of retirements that we have on a regular basis.
I'm going to apply it December 31st.
I think that if you go to any human health and human services organizations across the county and state, you'll find that caseworkers are a hard position to find and retain when it comes to both social services and mental health. These are positions that people often will take, train 3, 4, 5 months for, and not to them, and then a position that seems like vacant for several years is actually just being turned over.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Resolution 385, authorizing preliminary engineering design expenses in connection with the reconstruction of the foundation at the County's Department of Social Services building and for the County of Ulster, Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $31,000, and authorizing the issuance of 31,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof.
I'll move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 388, authorizing the issuance of an additional $452,000 in bonds to replace part of the cost of the replacement of the windows at Ulster County Community College. Move?
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 390, amending capital project number 479 to provide for additional engineering and right-of-way incidental services for the Ulster County Midtown Linear Park, Department of Planning. Move.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 401, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 9 of 2019, a local law amending law local law number 6 of 2014 to improve and strengthen the sustainable energy loan program.
I'll move it.
Move.
Second?
Second.
Oh, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm opposed.
Pardon me? You're opposed?
I'm opposed, yeah.
Okay.
Is this part of the PACE?
Yes.
It is PACE.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did determine that.
Okay. I was given incorrect information, but that's why I asked questions. So,
okay,
you know,
so but everything always, was resolved on that.
Yeah, I
okay,
just I've been against this program from the beginning.
That's fine.
I think it's a.
I just wanted to make sure that you knew it wasn't
I got the email and Mark had reached out to Vicky. I just this program I feel like puts a threat to the taxpayers because the county's backing the funding,
okay.
And I've always been concerned about that, and the fact that they haven't closed a single deal in Ulster County since we joined is another concern of mine.
Well, and I think the program enhancements are to hopefully change that. So
allegedly.
We'll see.
I mean,
okay.
We do have them throughout the county, city of Kingston. We wrote something into a syllabus.
Yep.
I just think there's not a lot of information on it out there,
mm-hmm.
and maybe if more people knew about it, they would
utilize
on board,
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the LDC that I have a problem with, not necessarily the PACE program itself.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor? I think we voted
aye.
On that, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we did. I just wanted to make sure. Any new business?
Is it now double pass?
Yes.
I'd just like to welcome back one of our very valuable employees.
Yay.
Amber.
Yes.
A great addition to her family, and Natalie did a tremendous job while she wasn't here.
Thank you.
Really is. I'm sure you're doing even a better job this year. Start working.
The dynamic duo is back. Great, thank you. Anything else? I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you.
Yes.